read today's text for today. It comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 33. It's a little bit long, but we'll read the whole text. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to 33. Oh, Brad is the other person that I met. Brad, yeah, that's right. Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. I think this is NIV. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle, or with any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Another thing that I forgot was that I sent to, I think, most of you on your emails, the church calendar for April. So it's got the events and all the meetings. So now I didn't print them out just to save paper, so it'll be in your emails. Well, we were in a series called The Faith Begins at Home. And on Palm Sunday and on Easter, we had to take a break from the series. But now we can resume our series. And in the beginning, I mentioned that the most important place on earth is home. And if home is the most important place, then the most important human relationship is that of the husband and the wife. So marriage is the most important relationship because it is the most intimate relationship. Husband and wives really know each other. They are best friends for life. No other human relationship is this close and this intimate. And secondly, it is the most important relationship because it produces human life. The relationship between a husband and wife is the basis for the life of children. So children's lives are literally built upon that relationship. And if we want to teach faith to our kids, the relationship between the husband and wife must be solid and secure. But we also recognize that marriage is the most difficult relationship. The most difficult. God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And you know what? Your most immediate neighbor is your wife. Your husband, your spouse. And in today's passage, Paul tells husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. The second most important command is to be practiced at home between spouses. You know, my seminary friend, he got married and he married somebody from my home church. So she was my sister's friend. And my friend from seminary, he worked at my home church as a youth pastor. And he married my sister's friend, and you know they're in Boston and they're very happy. But he says when he got married, he learned how selfish she was before marriage. Before marriage, he didn't know, but after being married to her, he's like, oh, she is such a selfish person, right? And then he tells me, and also I realized how selfish I am. You realize it when you're married. You see that. You realize that you are a selfish human being. Now, when my wife and I, we used to live in New York and New Jersey area. We lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey for 2 years, and then we moved down to Florida. And down in Florida, we discovered something wonderful. It's called Krispy Kreme donuts. And, you know, their most famous donuts are the glazed, the plain glazed donut, right? It's very sweet, but it's just really good. And, you know, they have many different kinds, but I don't even look at them. I just go straight for the glazed donuts, you know, especially when the light's on and they're, you know, just you know, fresh, when it's just fried. It's good. And one time, you know, we saw the light on, and like, hey, the light's on. So we parked the car, and I got out, and I got the, you know, half dozen donuts. And, you know, when you get donuts, they give you samples, right? They usually give two. So I got two. And so seeing two, I was like, oh. You know, at the time, Joel wasn't born. It was just Judy. So I'll give one for Judy. And one, I just ate it, right? And I ate it. And I went inside because, you know, we had six donuts. So I went in and I gave one to, you know, Judy. And I gave the box to my wife. And she's like, well, where's my sample? I'm like, I ate it. And she was upset that I ate the donut by myself. I was like, hey, but, you know, we have six donuts here in the box. You can have one of them. You can take all of it. But she's, that's not the same. And she was mad. Like, later, maybe I was selfish. I think I got too excited, and I forgot about my wife when I saw the donuts. So loving another person, loving another human being as yourself is difficult. It's difficult. And I think that one of the purposes of marriage is to learn to love another person as yourself. And the difficulty of loving another human being as oneself is proven by the divorce rate in our society. In the U.S., you know, we know that it's roughly about half. Half of all the marriages end up in divorce. And I read that the rate has gone down a little bit. You know, that's good. That's good news. But still, you know, it's a lot of marriages that are falling apart. And sadly, that rate is reflected in pastors as well. We think that pastors would have a perfect family life, but that's not the case. And nearly half of pastors' marriage in the U.S. also end up in divorce. So it's not really much different from the society. So we really have to accept divorce as a reality in our life. And so we shouldn't be too, you know, condemning toward people who are divorced. Rather, we should be understanding and we should be supportive of people who have gone through divorce. You know, there's a famous story about Ruth Graham, the wife of the famous evangelist Billy Graham. And one time, a journalist from a famous magazine went to Ruth Graham and she asked, and the person asked, Ruth, did you ever consider a divorce from Billy Graham? And this is what she said. Divorce? No. Murder? Many times. So it really is difficult for two people to be one. It's very difficult to love another person. At times you just want to kill your spouse, right? And you know, today's passage in Ephesians is the classical text about marriage. And we know that many women do not like this passage because it makes seem women like servants of their master, the husband. But we really have to look at the context. Right before Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands, Paul writes in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this isn't just to the married couples. This is to all Christians. Paul was saying, you know, if you're a Christian, you should submit to another person, another Christian, out of reverence for Jesus. And this principle applies within marriage relationship as well. So this is the big principle that applies to the marriage relationship, submitting to each other. So the husband submits to the wife willingly out of reverence for Christ, and the wife submits to husband out of reverence for Christ. That is the main, the huge, big principle that's to be applied within marriage as well. So it is a mutual submission. It's not just one way, you know, a submission saying, wives, you should obey your husbands, right? It's mutual. And if you really love somebody, you would naturally want to serve that person. I mean, that's something natural. And what struck me as I read today's passage is not just the content, but the length, the physical length of paragraphs. You know, Paul really says very few things to the wives, but Paul says a lot to the husbands. You know, Paul says what Paul says to the husbands is more than twice the length of what it says to the wives. So why would Paul have a lot more things to say to husbands than to wives? You know, I thought maybe it's because a lot of things in marriage depend on what the husband does. Paul tells the husband to love their wives in a way that Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, how did Christ demonstrate his love for the church, for his people? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ demonstrated his love for the church by giving up his life. And that's the kind of love that husbands are called to show to his wife. You know, husbands are to sacrifice for our wives to the point of death. And you know, honestly, men do not like the statement. Women do not like the submit part, but men do not like love as Christ loved part, right? You know, I wonder which would be easier, to submit to one's husband or to give up your life for the wife. I don't know. Men might say, risk your life for your wife. You know, we say that before we got married, but not after, right? But, you know, it seems like, so in the end, nobody likes the passage. The women don't like it, the men do not like it, right? But the truth is that a lot in marriage depends on the willingness of the husband to sacrifice for the wife. And Paul says the same thing twice, this time in a different way. Husband ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he says, he who loves his wife loves himself. So loving one's wife as Christ loved the church means that you love your wife as your own body. But then here's a paradox. Loving one's wife, in the end, is loving yourself. Loving one's wife is a big sacrifice, but then in the end, it benefits the husband who made the sacrifice. But I want to say that husband's sacrifice for the wife is not beneficial only for the wife or the husband, but for the children as well. It's good for the children. And I want to show you how the love of husband toward the wife can affect children. There's a person named Sung Kim in Korea, and he was the director of Father's School in Onuri Church in Seoul, South Korea, one of the largest churches. And it's one of the most popular programs in that church. And it is a program where Christian fathers are educated to be good fathers at home. Because, you know, a lot of Korean parents, fathers are maybe not so good at their homes. So he once directed a program where he asked the youth to write a letter, a personal letter to their fathers. And he was shocked at the anger many youth felt toward their fathers. And one youth wrote this letter to his own father. "Ha, you a father! You're worse than an animal. You should be born as a woman in the next life and suffer the same treatment that my mother received from you." You can feel the anger in this youth against his father. But then at another event, he noticed something very different. He heard this very memorable, very encouraging remark from one successful businessman. He was recalling how his own father lived. He was saying, my dad was a delivery man. He delivered coal briquettes. You know, in Korea they used to have these compressed coals with a bunch of holes, and you heat up the houses. And that was his job, delivering those coal briquettes. And it says, "When I was a kid, at times I was ashamed of my father. But when I look back, I am who I am today because of my father. My father was not educated, but he always did his best. He was always kind to my mother and dearly loved her. Our parents were poor, but they loved and respected each other and did their best to provide for the family. Seeing my father live like that, I could not go down the wrong path. Out of all the people in the world, I respect my father the most." You know, this person's father may not be considered a successful person in our society, but he truly lived a successful life. How husbands treat their wives is so important because it has profound effect on the children. Children tend to identify with their moms, with their mothers. So when dad shows love to their moms, children feel as if dad is loving them. But when the dad is mistreating their mother, the children feel as if dad is mistreating themselves. If the husband looks down upon the wife, does not respect the wife, then the son will tend to treat women and not respect the woman in general. And in case of a daughter, she will harbor a great anger against the father, and she will think that being born a woman is a disaster, is a curse. But if the husband loves his wife, the son learns, oh, a man is supposed to love and protect his wife. And the daughter, seeing how his father loves her mother, she feels very happy to be a girl, to be a woman. When the children see their father showing love and respect for their mom, the son will say, "You know what? When I grow up, I want to be like my father." The daughters will say, "When I grow up, I want to marry a person like my dad. That's a really good thing. That's very good." When the parents show love and respect for each other, the children will develop healthy sexual identities as a man and as a woman. And you know, this is not just for husbands. This is true for mothers as well. In today's passage, the wives are told to respect their husbands. Maybe women feel loved when the husband makes small sacrifices for the wife. But men feel loved when the woman respects the man of the house. But if the wife does not show respect toward the husband, the children will not show respect to their father either. So one of the greatest gifts that we can give as parents to our children is to show to our children that we love each other, that we respect one another, that we are one in love. That's the greatest gift that we can give to our kids. And one of the worst damages we can do as parents is to constantly be in fight. arguing. When parents are, you know, constantly fighting, children cannot feel secure. They're always anxious and unhappy. So when dad loves mom, the children feel loved. And when the couple love each other, the children can grow with healthy self-esteem, self-confidence, and security. Of course, that does not mean that, you know, we Christian couples will never have arguments, will never have fights. No way. We will argue, we will fight. But what's more important is that after the couple had a good fight, we must show to the children how we reconcile. We must show to the kids, saying, "Honey, I am sorry. That was my fault. Honey, I'm sorry. That was my fault." We tend to say to each other, "Well, I think that bad trait in our son comes from your side, right? Your family, not my family, right? That can't be my family, right?" But when we see a good trait, we're like, "That comes from my side, right? My family, right?" So we tend to, you know, emphasize the good traits that comes from our side. But in front of the kids, the parents should never debase the spouse. We should always commend each other. "Wow, son, you have a fantastic imagination. That must come from your mother." "Wow, daughter, you are so observant. It must come from your dad." We must commend each other. In front of our kids, the couple should never say demeaning things toward each other. So our children will be happy when they see their parents loving and respecting one another. And here are some practical tips from the director of Father's School. He says, let the children see the parents having intimate conversation over a cup of tea or coffee. And he says, fathers, give a big hug to your wife in front of your kids. And when you go out as family, it says, hold your hands together as couple. It's okay if the kids see it. But not before you get married, right? No holding hands, right? And he says, father should help moms with their dishes and house cleaning. And I think, our Cornerstone members are very good at that. I think a lot of men help with cleaning the dishes and cleaning houses. And he also says that, fathers, once in a while, should cook for the wife. And when I was reading that, I was like, would barbecuing count? No. Yeah. She marinates the beef and I just grill it? I don't know. It may count or not. And he says, if the daughter does not show respect and is acting very cold toward the father should examine his attitude toward his wife. He should examine how he has been recently treating his wife. And if the son is not listening to the mom, the husband should see if he has been listening to his wife recently. So how the husband and wife treat each other is reflected in the behaviors of their children. So the second most important command from God, loving our neighbors as ourselves, it is first to be practiced at home with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife. So husbands, let us love our wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, please express your love for the husband by respecting him, especially before your children. And without this basis of love relationship, our effort to teach Christian values to our kids would seem like a big hypocrisy. It would not work. We have to love each other as wives and husbands. So, all the married couples, let us thank God for our spouses and love them for God's sake, love them for the kids' sake, and love them for your own good. Loving our spouses is loving our children and ultimately loving myself. Let's pray. Lord, we believe that you are the one who have instituted marriage. You are the one who have created the concept of family. Lord, you have meant marriage to be a union between a man and a woman. And Lord, we are to practice loving another person as myself with our own spouses. Lord, help us to love our husbands and our wives as our own bodies. And help the husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And help the wives to show love to their husbands by showing respect, especially in front of their kids. I pray that through the loving and respecting relationship of parents, the children may be blessed, that they would grow in their self-esteem, that they would grow in their faith in Christ, your Son. In your name we pray. Amen.